Time for the property polls here at 96.7 TSAFM. Every single Wednesday, we talk realtors, we talk lawyers, we talk all kinds of real estate stuff. And today, it's Kevin Rogers' turn from SkiCountryLegal.com, and he's a real estate lawyer. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, and sunshine's going to be here today, so...
Hopefully.
Yes, well, it is. I believe it. I have to believe, you know what I'm saying? So what's going on today in the real estate lawyer world? What are we talk about today?
So today we're just going to go through the basics of the contract that, you know, people enter into when they're purchasing, selling real estate. I'd say it's the most common thing I need to go over with everybody that I talk to. So I feel like it'd be good to just kind of get it all out there, let people hear it. And then, you know, if they have follow-up questions, reach out or talk to their attorney about
it. Sounds good to me, because we all need that contract, don't we? We can't do anything without the contract.
Yeah, and it's... essentially the first step in the process. So usually when buyers go to a property with their realtor, they love the property, they want to put an offer in. What they're really doing is they're submitting a contract to the seller to accept, and say the seller accepts the terms of it, then they are officially locked in into an agreement, and they, you know, need to move forward with it unless there are some ways out, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, that's what my question was going to be.
Yeah.
They're really locked in.
Yeah, so you're really locked in, and other states work a little bit differently. So I work with a lot of out-of-state clients, and then they're confused by our process, so I need to go through, you know, what it looks like here. But in other states, you know, you do inspections first before you enter into a contract. You have an attorney do the title search first. And once you go under contract, you're, you know, locked in, you know what you're getting, at what price, and you usually close in a week or two. So it moves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
In Vermont, we do things a little bit differently. So the first step here is entering into the contract and locking yourself into an agreement. And then we add some safeguards in there to protect buyers, you know, for inspection issues or financing issues. Yeah, at its core, the contract is, you know, the buyer saying, I want to buy your property at this price. I've got the money for it. You know, let's close on this day.
Okay.
Seller says yes, and then, you know, we move towards that.
Right.
But obviously, properties have some issues, right?
Yes, okay.
You need to get an inspection, or you should get an inspection.
Yes.
And I'll use, you know, several examples. Typically came from height of COVID era, where the housing market was going crazy. We were seeing a lot of contracts come in where people, you know, never saw the property, waived all inspections, said they had cash to close, even though sometimes maybe they didn't. And that tended to lead to some issues, right? Yeah, so we got a lot of calls, you know, 2 weeks after we closed, hey, why, they didn't tell us that the roof was leaking or the septic system failed or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to have the talk, well, you didn't agree to any inspections, you know, you just said you were going to buy this place as it was, and, you know, you paid for what you got.
Is that your job to say something, or no, you don't usually?
I mean, it is in some capacity, but at the same time, like we were talking, you know, once you submit your offer, you're under contract.
Yeah.
You usually can't change that after the fact. So unless you have those safeguards in place when you put your offer in, then you're kind of forced to move forward with it.
Different clauses in there, a couple of lines, right? Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So, so now that the housing market's calmed down, we see a lot more, you know, inspection contingencies in place. And I know you talked to Russ a couple weeks ago, and yeah, it's very important to get a house inspection. So, you know, you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for something, you know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Right. So you ask your realtor to include an inspection contingency clause. You have your inspections done. And if there's anything unsatisfactory in the inspection, you know, leaky roof, septic system's bad, a number of things, really.
Right.
You can back out of the deal, get your deposit back, and look for another place.
You know, you'd save a lot of hassles if you had the inspection first.
Yeah, save a lot of hassles,
Vermont,
a lot of money.
What's wrong with you, Vermont?
Yeah. So
anyway,
So and you know, in essence, it also acts as some leverage if you want to negotiate on those issues. So you can say, well, I've got this contingency. I can back out if I don't like this, but you know, if you give me a closing credit of $10,000 or a price reduction, or you agree to fix this prior to closing, then we're good to move forward. So that's the main one that people should always include, you know, whether you're buying cash or financing, you should always have that, you know, so that you are paying for something that, you're going to be happy with after closing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second main one I'd say is financing. So there are people out there who buy, you know, properties with cash, but I'd say most people need a bank involved to,
yes,
you know, borrow some money.
Right.
Because you don't have a couple $100,000 sitting around.
Well, I mean, hold on. Let me see.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I don't. Okay.
I see the briefcase in the
you
corner
see?
There.
Yeah.
So if you're financing, you always want to include a financing contingency because a lot of things could go wrong during the process. Maybe mm-hmm. you lose your job while you're in the middle of the deal, and you know, you don't have the resources anymore to purchase. Or say you go under contract for $500,000, but the appraisal comes back and they say, well, this property is only worth $400,000. Mm-hmm. You know, a lender's not going to be happy with it. You're probably not going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, on those grounds, you can back out due to financing. And yeah, this was another COVID thing. You know, a lot of people, it was a very competitive market, so people would make their offers as attractive as possible. So they'd say in the contract, yes, I've got $500,000 in cash sitting around that I can mm-hmm. use for this purchase. But come to find out, they don't. They need to finance. Mm-hmm. You know, appraisal doesn't come back as high as it needs to be. And, you know, we run into issues trying to back out of the contract at that point
because
you don't have the protection of that contingency in place. So,
yeah, wow.
That's definitely a big one. And, you know, aside from that, I'd say those are the two main ones. We also, you can put contingencies in for a lot of things in contracts. You know, if you're selling your primary residence and buying a new one, you know, you want to include some language that requires that your sale go through first before you can buy, you know, little things like that. We also cover furnishings, whether the property is going to be sold fully furnished, what to expect when you get to your walkthrough on, you know, what furniture or belongings are going to be there. So
what about someone selling or buying at the same time? Does he have to put some sort of clause in there? Or?
Always. Because it can be, I mean, it's complex because you're relying on, you know, your sale going through because, you know, if you're selling your property, the buyer probably has inspections and a lender they're working with.
Yeah.
Things can get delayed,
right,
you know, or just fall through altogether. So if you're relying upon that sale for
a
your
new
purchase,
house. Yeah.
then and that falls through, then you need to have some protection built into your contract to allow you to, you know, back out if your sale doesn't work.
Does that happen a lot? Or?
It's not super common up here because a lot of people that we work with are purchasing second homes or their first home, right? So they're not relying on the sales. But I've got probably two or three right now where that's happening, where we're, you know, moving forward with a sale, things get slowed up and it causes delays on the purchase. So, you know, it's a lot. It's kind of like a balancing act, and you have to set expectations at the beginning that delays happen.
Right.
They're common. You know, you need to be patient. The seller needs to be patient. But it does, you know, pop up. And some people are like to move out of their house and then move right into their new house.
Yes,
so they want to close, you know, close on their sale in the morning and their purchase in the afternoon. And that, you know, that becomes really problematic.
Absolutely. So, where am I going to put all my stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Actually writing up something on that when I get back to the office. So
you will put it in a storage and then you can take it out of there.
In an ideal world. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
but
great.
I'd say that's, you know, the big thing. And, you know, I always recommend people just reach out to an attorney maybe before you put an offer in so that you can make sure that you've got all these protections in place.
Right.
Because a lot of times we can't change the contract after you're already, you know, signed and under contract. So it's a lot easier for me to review something, you know, the day you're putting the offer in, make sure everything's good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you submit your offer rather than put the offer out there, have it signed, and then ask for forgiveness, which, you know, I'd say some sellers are willing to do, but some aren't.
And
that can be difficult.
They want it done. Yeah. That's why you need a real estate lawyer, which was the last segment we talked about. Go to our podcast and you can check it out on our website at WTSARadio.com and you can hear why you need a real estate lawyer.
Yeah, they definitely
it's
go
just
hand
a lot
in
easier.
Hand.
There's no way that I'm going to know all the rules or all the contingencies and all that stuff. That's where you come in.
Yeah. Realtors are very, you know, very good at covering that kind of stuff. But I'd say it helps to talk to your whole team before like entering into a big decision like that.
Absolutely. All right. So how does someone get a hold of you? Of course, you can get a hold of us on our website.
Yep. So you can go to our website at skicountrylegal.com. Yep. We've got our phone number, like an online inquiry form there, or you can give us a call at 802-213-3565 and somebody can talk.
Absolutely. All your information is on our website with the podcast. You can listen to past episodes from you at WTSARadio.com and just go to the Property Pulse tab and you can check it out.
Yep.
And we also put you up on Facebook too, so everybody, the whole world can see you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. I learned a lot today in the short period of time. That's why it's called the Property Pulse, and I'm looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
Yep. Sounds good.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks,
Sam. Have a good day. All right. There goes Kevin with the Property Pulse here at 96.7 TSAFM. Good morning.